All right, everyone, help me welcome to the stage Hendrik. Hendrik is a core contributor to TLS Notary, and he's going to be giving us a technical introduction today to ZKTLS and TLS Notary. These are systems that use multi-party computation and zero-knowledge proofs to allow users to prove the authenticity of private HTTPS data. I'll let him take it away. Let's help him. Help me welcome him.
Good morning. Test, test. Is it on? Okay, perfect. Okay, good morning. My name is Hendrik. Thank you for the great introduction. So we're here, decentralized internet. We use the internet every day to do things that matter to us, important stuff, fun stuff. And we do it to access bank information, exam results, reputations on systems. And TLS, HTTPS serves us really well. But it's a protocol built between two parties. So as soon as we want to start sharing data, it gets difficult. So HTTPS makes sure communication is secure, but it's hard to share that data. And in this talk, I will present you ways about fixing that, so about turning ordinary HTTPS transcripts into cryptographic proofs that you can use to share, and all of this while keeping the user in full control over its privacy. So first, let's talk about TLS. So that's the S in HTTPS. It has been mentioned a few times already, so let's dive a little bit deeper. So it is a security protocol. It's using key public infrastructure, so certificates, to make sure that when you receive data over the internet, you can also check that the data indeed comes from the source it claims to be. It uses key exchanges and encryption so that you also know that nobody was able to mess with the data in the middle, and that also nobody can eavesdrop, so it's encrypted and there is a message authentication code. So today I will just talk about HTTPS, TLS. I will mix them the whole time, but know that TLS is also applicable to more than just HTTPS. So other examples are secure WebSockets or FTP, for example. But so the challenge is, what if Alice receives data from a website and wants to share that with Bob? So why isn't this trivial to do? That's because TLS uses symmetric encryption. Why does it use symmetric encryption? For performance. But so that means that Alice has the same key as the website. So if she would just give the data to Bob, she could just change things. And so what systems do we use today? Unfortunately, a lot of people just share screenshots and still think that is safe. But in the age of AI, that's just the same as a Trust Me Bro security system. Unfortunately, there's also, even if it's against the terms of service and for lots of applications, also people just sharing their passwords, which is a whole other mess that we definitely should avoid. Before I go to solutions, maybe re-emphasizing why sharing data is important. There's lots of websites, there's government websites, banks, social platforms, gaming, and there's definitely lots of scenarios where there are bots that would want to see private data from Alice on these often walled gardens. Like, say you want to start a business, then it's very hard to compete with the big platforms just because that access isn't there. But also here in the open source community, grassroots social, peer-to-peer finance systems, also things like Internet Archive, where it could be that users can get them data in a verifiable way that would open up way more data sources for these archives, and other things like Ethereum oracles. And so the what we want to do is unlock this web data that's locked in these walled gardens so that it can be shared without intermediaries. Why do we want to do this? Often how history goes, we start with a system that's very open. They attract users to grow, but as soon as they reach their shelling point, it's extraction time, and then instead of helping the user, they just try to extract as much value as they can. The same with cooperating. APIs get closed after a while. In the beginning, oh, we built this together, and then suddenly, once the shelling point is reached, the gates of the walled garden are closed, and it's full competition mode. So unfortunately, we have seen this pattern time and time again, and so we need tools to find against that. So what other alternatives are there for portable HTTPS data? There is a very simple solution, and that would be signing the data at the source. Unfortunately, we've seen this slide right before, there is no incentive for the big platforms to allow competitors. So unfortunately, that might work for government websites in use cases, but it's not a generic solution, definitely not something that small players can enforce. Other options are OAuth, for example, but again, you need cooperation from the website, and also you introduce another party that you need to trust, and there's another point where censorship can happen. So I present you a new player, that's ZKTLS, which can help to fight those walled gardens. It does not only help to get data from Alice, which I from now on will start calling Prover, and Bob, which I will call the Verifier. So it does not only help for Bob to verify that the data is authentic, but also the Prover stays in full control over the privacy, so what exact data is shared with the Verifier, but I will, of course, explain all of that in the following slides. So it allows to verify web data without compromising privacy, and in that way shift control back to users. So ZKTLS, the ZK stands for zero knowledge, and it's an interactive verification. So if there are cryptographers in the room and they hear ZK, they start making assumptions. So it's not publicly verifiable. It's now a TLS between three parties. And because it is TLS, the three parties need to be online because they will do the TLS session together. And then there's also a second phase. So first, they will do the TLS session, and the prover will have the verifier participates and sees encrypted information, and the prover will commit to that encrypted information. And so at the end, the prover can make a proof based on those commitments, which the verifier can check when when data is disclosed through a selective disclosure part. So there's actually two approaches. So you see a server, a prover, and a verifier. That's the three parties here. And it really depends on who does the actual TLS session with the server. So there's proxy mode, which is the simplest, where the verifier is in between the prover and the server. And there is the MPC mode, where it's the prover that talks to the web server, and the verifier checks the result in the end. So they have all different security, privacy, and resource trade-offs. So let's zoom into proxy mode first. So in proxy mode, it's very similar to regular TLS. So here the prover has the does the key exchange with the server, and the verifier just observes everything that happens and sees the encrypted information. One risk here is that if the prover has control over the network, then the prover could fool the verifier. But in lots of use cases, this is enough of a trust mode to have. But if there's lots of money involved or it's really important, then you should not use this mode. There is also privacy trade-offs. So because the verifier communicates with the website, the verifier will also know who that website is. And another big challenge of this mode is that the server will see lots of requests from that verifier and will start to see patterns there. So this is also easy to censor from the server side. So from the server side, this looks like normal TLS traffic. So that's not something, but if there's like, if that is an Amazon server, then it's often already blocked by default by many websites. So that could also be a reason to look at different solutions. But it's a relatively lightweight solution to follow this approach. The other and the most secure approach is to use multi-party computation. So that's a cryptographic trick that from the applied cryptography that we can use. And here, instead of the verifier or the prover having the TLS key, a good mental model to have is that they each have a key shard. So they have to work together to do the TLS transaction. And MPC allows you, so both parties, prover and verifier, have a private part, that's their key share, but still they can compute a public function to do the things that needs to happen with the server. So in this setup has a stronger privacy guarantees because the prover here is the only one who talks to the server, so they could also have like completely blind proofs to the verifier, so they could even be presenting a proof without actually knowing what exact server was consulted. So that's already more exotic use cases, but just to say that this is a very generic and safe approach. The only downside is that using MPC has an overhead, so it does require way more bandwidth between the prover and the verifier than the actual request. And also, yeah, there's cryptography that needs to be computed, so there is also more compute requirements. The second part of CKTLS is the selective disclosure part. So we used either proxy or MPC to do the TLS transcript. At that point, everybody only has encrypted information. After commitments, it can be decrypted. And then the prover can decide what exactly is shared with the verifier. And the simplest way to do that is just redaction. So in redaction, you just say you did an HTTP request where there is an authentication code in the headers. That's definitely something you do not want to share with anybody else. So you can cover that and say that I only need to prove a username on a system. I could just disclose that JSON data and redact everything that the website I'm using does not need. Of course, there is things to be mindful of when you start using redacted data. So you have to be careful when verifying that people are not trying to inject extra data and then with some smart redaction try to fool you that the username is something else. And also, if you use the length of fields and you have a bool in there,
be careful, just redacting true or false will disclose the actual answer. And of course, we were in the field of applied cryptography, so we could, instead of using redactions, we could also use zero-knowledge proofs, where we just use the disclosements in the first phase and hash commitments, and then prove any statement about the transaction to the verifier, and the verifier then also has full guarantees that the data that is shared or the statement that is shared is true. And there you could use any proving system that you want. So why am I explaining all of this? First, because we need it, but also because we built an implementation of CKTLS in the TLS Notary project. So it's Apache 2 or MIT, to your choice. And we have been building a Rust implementation since 2022 under sponsorship of the Ethereum Foundation. And so we built a CKTLS protocol using MPC. This is not just a proof of concept, so it's actually already used in the wild. So there's, for example, CKP2P that uses CKTLS or web proofs to prove that bank transactions happened. So it's a real peer-to-peer crypto on-ramping platform where you don't need a bank or a central exchange. You just have CKP2P managing, contacting people, and then getting people onboarded. Vouch is a system by VLayer also to do all kinds of web proofs for different applications. Keyring is a company using it for to reuse KYC, know your customer implementations, so that you not always have to upload your passport and stuff, but you can reuse existing platforms. The most natural place to use CKTLS is in the browser, because that's where all your passports and cookies live, and so it's written in Rust, can be compiled to WebAssembly. So we also have a demo extension that you can install just to play around with CKTLS in practice. And it's also a plugin-based system, so you can just plug in different applications. So I will demo using it for Spotify, but you could use it for Twitter or other things, just to make proofs of data so that you can use it at in different places. So I will have a recorded demo, not to run into problems here. So as a website, we will use Spotify. The prover in this example will be my browser that connects to a demo application. That connects to Spotify, and then the verifier in this case is just a web service that does the MPC verification and then just responds back what it actually used. So let's see. I hope this works. So on top we have the website where the prover runs, and the verifier runs in the bottom here. So I open the Spotify app, and then first the prover has to agree that he wants to run a plugin, and the user can cancel at any point. So this extensions open the Spotify website. I'm now logging in with my account. So this works with any workflow where you need to get the authentication code. But so any second now, I'm logged in. And now our extension will detect that the authentication code was found. So now the request to get my favorite Spotify artist can be started. And so if we go see at the back end, this is the extension logs, where you can see that the multi-party computation is happening. And here you can see that my favorite chess artist. And this is the server logs. And here you can see that, if you have good eyes, that I did this on Thursday, and that this is the data that was disclosed. So this was using just simple redactions to disclose the data. So this was a very quick demo. But this is a primitive that you can use in many different ways. So not all use cases are prover is the user, verifier is a server. It could also be reversed. So for example, the second item there, we have a demo where the website is actually the verifier, and it's the server that proves some access to private data. If you want to play around, the demo I just showed, try the first bullet. We also have a tutorial on building plugins, or you could also just dive deeper, use it in native Rust applications, build whatever. But so the message is, if you want to build an app or whatever where you need to be able to verify data from a user in a privacy-respecting way, try TLS Notary. And we are very curious to see what you guys will build. And so we want to open the web and without needing to change the current walled gardens. So thank you.
All right, we do have time for one question before we close this out. Here we go, right here. And don't worry, you can always talk to him after the presentation as well.
Thanks so much for the presentation. I'll try to keep it quick. So my impression of zero-knowledge protocols is that they are super computationally expensive, maybe even network expensive. So can you perhaps comment on how expensive this is computationally compared to, the current state, which is no privacy but just TLS?
My mic is still on, sorry. I was waiting for the spatula. there's definitely an overhead. I don't know the latest numbers, but if you want the Spotify demo, that's a few kilobytes that you get from Spotify. That's multiple, it's like the 50 megabytes, I think, that's now exchanged between prover and verifier. And then for speed, so this was on a regular laptop, but it also runs on phones. The computational overhead is limited. It's way bigger than just TLS, but it's not. So you saw it's a couple of seconds, you have your proof.
Thank you. Awesome. Yeah. All right, one more round of applause for Hendrik, everyone. Thank you very much.